Ghislaine Maxwell, serving a 20-year sentence for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking crimes, was interviewed by the Department of Justice under the Trump administration, sparking renewed interest in Epstein's network. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former Trump lawyer, met Maxwell in Tallahassee, Florida on July 24th through the 25th to probe potential information about others involved in Epstein's crimes.
I think Ghislaine did a wonderful job. She literally answered every question. She didn't say, you know what, don't ask me that. I'm not going to talk about this person. She was asked maybe about 100 different people. She answered questions about everybody, and she didn't hold anything back.
But her lawyer, David Oscar Marcus, declined to disclose specifics. The speculation fueled by this interview and the lingering question of a pardon concerning Maxwell revolve around Epstein's alleged ties to foreign entities, not just politicians and celebrities, as the plot thickens.
But a lot of people have asked about pardon. This is just not a time to be talking about pardons. Todd will come back with whatever he's got. You're making a very big thing over something that's not a big thing. You should be talking about, if you're going to talk about that, talk about Clinton, talk about the former president of Harvard, talk about all of his friends, talk about the hedge fund guys that were with him all the time. Don't talk about Trump.
The Democrats pushing Trump on this and trying to connect him to all of this has massively backfired. And I've been saying for 20-plus days since this all broke, Trump needs to lean into this and order everything released, and that's all starting. Democrat judges all over the country, Florida, New York, are trying to block the release of the Epstein files now.
Evidence suggesting Epstein's connections to Mossad and Russian entities continues to burrow down the rabbit hole.
So $21 trillion disappeared from DOD and HUD over the period that Epstein was operating. He went to the White House, his first time in the White House. Rubin, who became Secretary of Treasury, took him, I think, in 1994. And then Rubin goes to Treasury, money starts disappearing, and then, you know, Epstein is ballooning fantastic amounts of money. So I think Epstein was laundering the money that was coming out of DOD. And if you look at his relationships with Mossad and Israeli intelligence, when Mossad is taking over DOD and the money's going missing, and we know the cybersecurity and IT in the Israeli sort of constellation was very active, you know, in government at that time. So if you let the files out, people are going to connect the dots between Epstein, Mossad, the growing power of Israel, AIPAC, and then where did their pension fund money go?
Of course, Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, was alleged in books like Robert Maxwell's Israel Super Spy to have worked with Mossad. Similarly, Epstein's ties to Russian figures such as Sergei Belyakov, a former Russian official who assisted Epstein with a Russian model and visa issues, and Epstein's processing of millions through Russian banks suggest possible Russian intelligence interest. Ghislaine Maxwell's own activities also add to the scrutiny, particularly her Terramar Project, a nonprofit founded in 2012 to promote ocean conservation, which likely functioned as a shell company. The New York Post reveals that Terramar, which shut down after Epstein's 2019 arrest, had minimal financial transparency and was linked to Epstein's funding of his illicit network, raising questions about its true purpose. The Terramar Project raised approximately $197,000 in public donations over its operational years from 2012 to 2019. Maxwell loaned significant sums to keep the organization afloat, with tax filings indicating that by 2017, the nonprofit owed her $539,000. And by the end of 2018, this debt had increased to $561,000. The Terramar Project was endorsed by the Clinton Global Initiative in 2013, but direct financial contributions are not clearly documented.
It's all a hive of scum and villainry. The infinite Epstein rabbit hole. That bound report can be found at band.video. All right, we kick off the war room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet, on the other side of this break.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
That is great right now is that the EPA under Lee Zeldin is slashing and gashing into regulations, including some extremely petty things, some of the bigger nonsensical things like the windmills, and then some of the more petty nuisances like the auto engine, auto on, auto off, auto start, stop. You got one of those in your car? First of all, it's bad for your engine. It doesn't do a damn thing for the environment. And they started to try to regulate those into every vehicle. So if you know about that, if you have to deal with one of those, it's one of the more obnoxious things that you have to deal with in cars now, from the beeping when you don't have your seatbelt in, now the auto engines. It's just obnoxious. It's just regulate everything into torture is what it is. Oh, I'm going to go flying. Well, actually, it's kind of a torturous experience. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll stay home. Oh, I know. I'll go for a ride in my car. Oh, I got that damn seatbelt thing that beeps in my ears and the auto start stop. It's like, what else? What's next? No, yeah, the gas is so expensive. The toll roads are more expensive. Just regulate everything to make the entire living experience torturous. So that's what we're trying to stop here. And a lot of that is happening at the EPA under Lee Zeldin. So I'll get into that stack, as well as some other political developments like the redistricting in Texas and what that means. Now, we do have some audio from Trump. He did have a press conference earlier today. He signed a executive order helping veterans and the VA. So we'll have some of those clips, including Trump responding to what's going on with the latest development in the crossfire hurricane exposure, which I think half people are kind of leaning into it, thinking this is going to result in something. And then you have another half of the people that think this is all just a distraction. This is all to get headlines off of Epstein. And at the end of the day, I guess we'll just see if Pam Bondi wants to make a move or not, because it seems where everything goes to die. And you've got the Article 3 project right now that's working on all kinds of transparency cases dealing with the federal government. And Mike Davis, who runs it, is running around doing media tours. And it's like the same conclusion. It's like, hey, we're doing all this great work. We're trying to get all this stuff into the open, get all this transparency. It's like once it gets to the DOJ, once it gets to Pam Bondi, it just dies. It's over. Flatline. So it seems to be the case with everything. And you just sit here and you watch it, and Trump's talking about how she's doing such a great job. Well, Trump kind of does lip service to everyone most of the time, I guess, unless you're Jerome Powell or maybe Rosie O'Donnell, who's actually funny again, ironically enough, in her Trump hatred videos. They're actually funny. I get a good laugh out of them now. So O'Donnell's funny again, if we got anything else going for us. But, man, everybody's going to continue to talk about Epstein no matter how hard he tries. And that's just the story at the end of the day. So unless they deliver arrests of the deep state, then that's just going to be the story. You covered up Epstein, and maybe we can get a good economy. Maybe we can get some other things done. We've secured the border. We're slashing these regulations. It's like, yeah, there's good stuff, but that's going to be the legacy driver. And why he continues to compliment Pam Bondi, where everything goes to die, and you start to wonder, is that her job? Is to just kill everything and then take the blame? Is that what she's there to do? I understand Trump pays lip service to everybody, but it's like whenever there's a big development, once it gets to Bondi's desk, everything stops. And everybody knows it now. So here's the big development, though. Kash Patel says he finds burn bags is the catchphrase today. Burn bags. And we'll get into some other geopolitical news, some other developments here. But let's just get into this now. And I found this funny. They were building this up, and Kash Patel's young performing artist girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, has been getting a lot of attention lately. People think she's a honeypot for Israel. I don't know. That's the rumor. But so she gets a bunch of attention. Well, now she's doing media tours. Now they're building her public profile up, which she's already kind of had one. She sings at events. She sings the national anthem. She's been dating Kash Patel, I guess, for a while now. So she goes to all the D.C. events. So she's been hanging around. Kash Patel's girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, to make big reveal amid new Russia documents claims. Oh, and guess where she was today? Doing the big reveal. She was on with Megyn Kelly. Oh, wow. It's Kash Patel's girlfriend and Megyn Kelly with the big Russian collusion reveal. Oh, guys, didn't you know? There was no Trump-Russia collusion. Wow. Didn't you know it was Hillary Clinton paid for opposition? Didn't you know it was the Obama administration that signed off on it, even though they knew it was fake? Don't you know? Here's Alexis Wilkins and Megyn Kelly to break the news as Kash Patel is talking about burn bags. Now, I imagine, in fact, I could probably get an FBI expert on from any of the former feds that come on the show, former FBI agents, whistleblowers, and maybe I will, just to find out how believable this is or not. Because the whole public perception that they want here with the comment of burn bags is like, oh my gosh, we found the evidence that they were going to destroy. This is the big one. We got it right here. It's in a burn bag. People think, oh my gosh, they were going to burn it. They were going to literally light it on fire. No, it's likely just a stack of things they're going to throw away or a stack of things that they're going to shred, whatever. It's probably just part of the process. Anybody that works with a bunch of paperwork has a process of what you do with the paperwork. So maybe we can get a clarification. But it's like, oh my gosh, we're breaking all of this. And then it's with Megyn Kelly. It's like, I don't want to get in all these little spats with all these big personalities. But it's like everything she ever builds up never happens. And so like she'll say something big. I forget what the most recent one is. Maybe the crew can remind me. She'll say something big to get a bunch of attentions and headlines. And then it never happens. It's like, oh, we'll be hearing from Epstein soon. People thought, oh my gosh, Megyn Kelly has information. He's still alive. That was like 2 years ago. So it's like, what is this about? She comes here to do a hit piece. What is this about? She gets Kash Patel's girlfriend on the show, and it's all this controlled rollout. Hey, look, we're talking about Russia. We're talking about Russian collusion. We're talking about the corruption of the Obama years. We're talking about stuff that happened 10 years ago. We're talking about stuff that should have been investigated in Trump's first term. So, yes, people think it's a distraction. Kash Patel finds thousands sensitive Trump-Russia probe documents inside burn bags in secret FBI room. And notice how they all do this. It's like this big James Bond act. It's like, oh, wow. It's all just political theater, no results. Political theater, no results. Political theater, no results. And you start to realize the longer you follow these politicians, the more you realize just if you just count on them lying to you, then you're probably going to be better off. Like I got this clip of Chuck Schumer today. He's talking about the economy. No, you can just be honest about the economy. Some things are good, some things are bad. But they need a delivery on the justice side of things. You're getting victories. Okay, we've got a secure border. Do we want more deportations? Yeah, but it's a sticky thing. We're trying to figure it out. But we got a secure border. Okay. The economy. Yeah, you've got some good things going on in the economy. I think that's more of it's going to be a slower process to get the economy where we need it to be. But I think things are being done that we can look at that and say, you know what, I can see things happening here. And we have a track record from the first administration. So is the economy where we want it to be? No. Do we have some problems? Yes. Interest rates are crushing a lot of people, but we're hoping maybe in a little bit, maybe when Powell gets out. And, you know, that was the deal Trump should have made with Powell. He should have said, look, because now Powell's just going to be a jerk the rest of the way. He should have said, look, if you're afraid about the tariffs, if you're afraid about the trade deals and everything else, and you're saying it's an unknown, fine. Give me a day. Keep it wherever it is. Keep it where you want, 7%. I'll let you keep it here against my best wishes. But give me a time frame. Say 4 months. You got 8 months left. In 4 months, if these things happen like I say they're going to happen and the economy's going good, I want you to cut the rate in half. But I won't bitch about it now. I won't give you a hard time now. I won't put you on blast for whatever the hell's going on at the renovations at the Federal Reserve. We'll take it easy on you. I'll quit calling you an idiot. But just do that for me. In 4 months, if these things happen, then cut them in half. You can leave them at 7 now. I won't bitch. You cut them in half in 4 months. But so there's good economic news today. And then Chuck Schumer goes to the floor and he says, oh, how bad it is. Oh, yes. Because it was so great under Biden. Like the Democrats tried to put out that line graph and they said, look at life under Trump. And the whole thing is the cost of living going up under Biden. Literally, that's the graph of what it was. And they said, look at it's Trump. It's like them holding up a picture of Joe Biden and saying, look at this. Look at this, Donald Trump. Look at this right here. It's literally a picture of Biden. Like, can you believe this, Trump? Look at what he's done. Look. That's Joe Biden. So I don't know. I think they can run and try to make different twists and turns. Oh, burn bags and, oh, secret documents, hidden rooms. I mean, who knows? One was under a spell. What's like a spell? What's anybody? I don't know. The crew doesn't play Dungeons & Dragons. What's like a big spell from Dungeons & Dragons? There's one in the movie, like Mordenkainen. It has Mordenkainen's protection on it. Yes, well, Cash Patel went into the FBI. He found a hidden room. It's protected by Mordenkainen's spell. So he actually had to go get the helmet of Infinite in order to break the spell and attempt to open the files. It's all very serious stuff. All very serious. But don't talk about Epstein. We're talking about spells and witchcraft protecting the Obama files. Yes. Soon it'll be aliens, already teasing that. But I'll tell you what, let's go to Trump on this and some other issues. He had a press conference today. And again, I think that there's a level of, we want you to stop talking about Epstein because they're probably not going to deliver or they're trying to cover it up. So there's like a level of that. But then there's also a level of, no, they do make things up and they do lie and they do twist and they do deceive. And so they'll try to turn this into some negative thing about Trump and Epstein when it should be about Epstein and his clients and the island. But part of that process involves Trump being a little more honest, which he hasn't been. And I get it. I can understand Trump's psychology just saying, hey, look, I hadn't hung out with that guy since the 90s. Whatever we had in common, we were into, was all legal. I wasn't aware of any illegal activity. I wouldn't even consider it immoral. Just hot women in their 20s, whatever. But I get it. He's just thinking this is going to be bad for the country. I do think, except maybe when it comes to Israel, Trump has America's national interests first. So he's just saying, hey, this is going to be bad for the country. This is going to be bad for the White House. I don't even know if it's necessarily an ego thing with him personally, but maybe really he knows this is going to be reflective of the whole country, and we're trying to do good things here, and this could destroy it all. And he's right about that. It could destroy it all. Some would argue it already has. But that's how the process is going to have to go. You can only make so many ridiculous, hey, let's just keep bringing the Obama stuff back up and telling we're going to arrest people. They can't even get Letitia James on a basic mortgage fraud. They can't even get Adam Schiff on a basic mortgage fraud. Now they're debating, well, who's got immunity? Who doesn't? Who's got statute of limitations? Who doesn't? So to me, it's just all the sign of we're just throwing red meat out there. We're just throwing this out there, trying to get you off the other stories, trying to get you off the Epstein thing. You know, get the hopes up. We're going to arrest the deep state. So Trump comments on this here in clip two.
Cash Patel reportedly found burn bags of RussiaGate materials, and we'd love to get your thoughts on that.
He said what?
Burn bags of RussiaGate materials that the guy supposedly found.
I don't know that. I don't know what you mean by that statement.
Say bags full of RussiaGate documents.
A burn bag. I thought you said appointed a man named Burn Bag. Go ahead. You got to speak up.
Thousands of documents in these bags, supposedly burn bags, at the FBI in the secret room.
Well, I want everything to be shown. You know, as long as it's fair and reasonable, I think it will be shown and it should be shown. And I think he feels that way, and I think Pam feels that way. But it's got to be, you know, it's got to be stuff that really doesn't hurt people unfairly, because you have so many people involved. And if they can do that in a fair way, I think it's great. I think it's really great. The whole thing is a scam. It's a scam set up by the Democrats, and they love talking about it. But I would like to see people exposed that might be bad, and we'll see how that all works out. But it's getting to be very old news. You know, if they had anything, they would have done it the week before the election, because they were losing by a lot. If they had anything, they would have done it. They controlled the file. The Democrats controlled it. Comey and all this, you know, sleazebags, every one of them, that you read about all the time, and I guess they've got some problems now having to do with yet a different scandal, very big one. But they control that file, so I would think that if they would have had something in the file, they would have released it about a week before the election, maybe 2 weeks, right, Brian?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, welcome.
So I'm not sure what he's talking about there as far as the other issues that they're facing. He didn't clarify on that, so I'm not so sure what he means there. But it's just when I hear this, and I, you know, I can't help but kind of fall into the same pattern of thinking, just because it's very clear and present in the current right, what would be considered the MAGA coalition. You know, for me hearing this, maybe for you hearing this, anybody that was around in 2016 and 17, it's like, what are we doing? That's like asking me to go back to eighth grade and pass a vocabulary test or something. It's like, go back to eighth grade and pass your English exam. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I got an A on that. It's like, yeah, but we're gonna bring that back up. We're gonna put that on your desk. We're gonna need you to pass that. It's like, what are we doing here? Dan Bongino literally wrote the book on this story. Cash Patel knows all the details. I guess I don't know about Pam Bondi, but I mean, it's like you literally have the guys in there that already did the legwork on this. What files do you need? We know who Bruce Orr is. We know who Nellie Orr is. We know who Christopher Steele is. We know who was running it in the Hillary Clinton campaign. We know who went to Obama and told him, even though it's bad intelligence, we have to go with it anyway. Why am I talking about a burn bag at the FBI? 80% of this administration knows exactly what went down. So it's like, oh, I need you to go back and pass a test from freshman year high school. But see, there it is. There's the new MAGA. There's the new MAGA, which hasn't heard about this stuff. There's the new MAGA that wasn't paying attention in 2016 and 2017. Don't know about George Papadopoulos. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. They were using ham radios to communicate. It's like, okay, so I guess I got to go do the exam again, pour through all of it in my head. We've already done this. Hey, here's some MLK files. So I was actually glad because I didn't even have this in my news today, anything about Epstein. And then we played the John Bowne report to open the show about it. I was like, well, that's good because I don't really plan on talking about it. But yet here it is again, because we just it just feels like it's all a distraction. Here's more from Trump talking about lowering rates, and we'll have other news. We'll have other news on the rates coming up as well. But here's Trump talking about the rates in clip three.
What you do is you lower them, and let's see if there's inflation. Right now, there's no inflation. Everybody thought there would be. All we have is billions of dollars of cash pouring into our country from other countries that took advantage of us for many, many years. You know, they were taken advantage of. We were like the stupid people that didn't know what they were doing. They took advantage of us, other countries, friend and foe. And by the way, the friend was oftentimes much worse than the foe when it comes to trade. So if that happens, what you do is you raise your rates and you do what you have to do to stop inflation. But we're keeping the rates high and it's hurting people from buying houses. And we don't want that. If for any reason that happened in a year or two, if there's some signs of inflation coming back, right now there's not. We have a great thing going. I think we're going to have the richest economy you've ever seen. We have money coming in that we've never even thought about at numbers that nobody's ever seen before. We have a deal with Japan where they're going to pay us $550 billion. We have a deal with Europe where they're doing $750 billion plus $400 billion plus $300 billion. And many other countries, it's likewise, you know, relatively, those are two big ones, but likewise. So we have a lot of money coming in and we have no inflation and we should, and we're very strong and we should be lowering the rates. You know, each point that this gentleman keeps up costs us $365 billion a year. Think of that. One point, $365 billion. If you bring it down a point, we save $365. We should be the lowest interest rate, and we're not. We're 38, number 38, because of the Fed. It's all because of the Fed. He's done a bad job. Now, he's got a meeting today, but I call him too late. You know, he's always too late. Even if he does it today, probably won't. I hear they're going to do it in September, not today. For what reason? Nobody knows. But Europe, as you know, cut their rates 11 times in the last short period of time. But the good news is we're doing better than anybody anywhere in the world. Nobody's doing anything even close to us, even with the higher rates. The higher rates do affect housing, though, because people can't go out and get a loan or refinance their house. And it would be nice.
It's a disaster. U.S. economy grew at 3% rate in quarter two, better than expected. So Chuck Schumer goes to the floor and says this.
And while the Trump administration will try to wave rosy headlines about the Q2 number, today's GDP number is, in fact, a mirage because some ominous numbers lurk under the hood. Business investment plunged in the second quarter by 3.1%. The fact that business investment plunged so starkly.
You know, he doesn't even try. He just gets up there, he slumps over the microphone, slumps over the podium, mutters in, Q2 numbers mean nothing. You know, you just realize they're just all liars. He would have told you how great the Biden economy was. He would have told you it's the greatest economy ever. So now he wants to lecture us about the Trump economy, though, because the Biden economy was such an example of greatness.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying, it feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultramethylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So stir it, go ahead and take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now, a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
Well, give me some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at thealtruistwork.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long-distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. That's why I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's time to take a stand. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
So, despite Trump's pressure on Powell and a bit of a public humiliation campaign, Fed leaves rates unchanged, defying Trump's demand for aggressive cuts. And the Federal Open Market Committee voted to keep the federal funds rate set in a range between 4.2 and 4.5. The decision was met with opposition from Governors Michelle Bowman and Christopher Waller, both of whom have advocated for the Fed to start easing. This was the first time since late 93 that multiple governors cast no votes on a rate decision. President Trump has been pushing the central bank to cut the benchmark rate. During the news conference, Powell said the FOMC hadn't yet made a decision about what they would do at a September meeting. So they should have had the negotiations, and Trump just said, all right, if you're worried about what's going to happen because you're unknown territory with the tariffs and everything, give it till September. And then when it happens, if what I say happens and inflation stays low, cut them in half. So you can keep them up, and I won't complain. But we're going to want to cut them in half then in September. And just agree to that now. But now you're going to have another fight just to get them cut again. And maybe even Powell just wants to be a nuisance after Trump called him a moron and humiliated him in public with that $3.1 billion bill at the Federal Reserve renovations. So I don't know, maybe Powell just, you know, he's kind of a little weasel. Maybe Powell just says, you know what, I'm just going to, in my last days here, my last months here, I'm just going to stick it to Trump. I'm just going to bother him. I'm just going to be a pest, which is why really he probably should be fired. Now, James Fishback and his group Azoria are leading a charge right now to get transparency when it comes to the Federal Reserve. Now, he's done a lot of in and out of courts, and he had some press conferences over the weekend. I'm just going to read you this statement, which is kind of a good summary from over the weekend. Azoria, an American investment firm, today participated in an emergency federal court hearing in Washington, D.C. in an attempt to force Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to comply with a federal law government in the Sunshine Act of 1976 that requires federal agencies to hold their meetings open to public observation. Golly gee, what a big ask for the American people that the federal government hold their meetings open to public observation. And they fight against it so hard. While our emergency temporary restraining order was not granted by U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell, there were two key developments that we learned today. First, the Federal Reserve's lawyers asked the court to dismiss Azoria's case, a motion that was swiftly denied by Judge Howell, meaning Azoria's case for transparency and accountability from the Federal Reserve will proceed. Second, the Federal Reserve's lawyers conceded that tomorrow's Federal Open Market Committee meeting is actually being jointly held with the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. That's where they landed on the interest rates thing, which the Federal Reserve's attorneys concede is in fact subject to the Sunshine Act. Azoria believes that these joint meetings between the FOMC and the Board of Governors may be an attempt to dodge the Sunshine Act and deny Americans their legal right to know what the Federal Reserve is actually doing. Azoria looks forward to continuing our case and fighting for transparency and accountability for all Americans. You know, this would be a good thing for Trump to maybe just throw a little weight behind, even if it was just a Truth Social post. Just say, hey, you want to know why they won't cut interest rates? Well, you know what? Maybe we should all be listening to their discussions. Maybe we should all be listening in on their meetings where they decide we're going to keep interest rates high. We're going to keep Americans out of the asset column by having the interest rate so high on assets that they already can't afford. Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to those meetings. They don't want to cut the rates. I've tried to get them to cut the rates. They won't do it. So maybe we should be listening in to their discussions. And you know, the one thing that you can't deny, they're going to get issues, oh, most transparent administration ever. But I mean, Trump has cabinet meetings and he lets the media in. I mean, it has a degree of transparency when it comes to the meetings and access to the Oval Office and what Trump's doing. I mean, it has a very high level of transparency. I don't know if you ever saw, I mean, how often did you see Biden really leading cabinet meetings? There was a couple famous ones where Jill Biden was running the deal. So they just nixed that. It's like, oh, that's a bad look. No, I think we should. And I think we should also know what's going on in federal court proceedings as well, actually. I think we need a lot more eyes and ears on what the federal government is up to. I think we need a lot more eyes and ears and transparency when it comes to D.C. So this case could lead to a lot more things, but I'd like to see that too. Let's put live cameras in federal courtrooms. Let's let people see how that goes down. Oh, they're going to have a meeting to discuss interest rates? Let's get the American people eyes and ears in that room as well. Let's go ahead and see what they're saying. So that'd be a good way for Trump to kind of go back at Powell. Go back at the Fed by supporting that when they don't do what he wants. By the way, on the Biden case, the AutoPen investigation, there are, I think it's almost a dozen people have been interviewed now. The number keeps growing. Now some people are actually starting to talk and not plead the fifth. And then some of them are starting to talk to the public as well, like Pete Butt Edge, Pete Booty Juice. He's like, oh, well, yeah, everybody kind of could tell he was fading. You could tell he was aging fast, but we don't think it affected anything. Like Ron Klain and others. So they've all got their story in a row. They've all talked to their lawyers. They've all centralized the communications. You took too long to move on the auto pen. And I guess at the end of the day, it's going to be more of a publicity stunt than anything else. Unless they can prove that somebody was using the auto pen without Biden's permission, without him knowing, then I just don't really know what comes of this. And it really is one of the bigger scandals of all time. And so that's the problem. It's like even Trump, how many times has President Trump came out and said it's one of the biggest scandals of all time? I believe he's even called it treasonous. And I forget who it was that said it. It's been said multiple different ways, I suppose. But it's like, you know, live by the Epstein, die by the Epstein files. I think that was Mike Benz. But no, there was someone else that was like, you campaign about the deep state and arresting the deep state and all the criminals and the treasonous actors. Well, yeah, people expect you to do it now. And you can't just get in there and be like, oh, I was just running a campaign. Oh, I was just trying to get reelected. No, we expect deep state arrests. I'd like to invest in a handcuff business and get rich. You know what I'm saying? Top Biden aide Steve Ricchetti tells GOP panel ex-president was fully capable. Well, that's not consistent with other testimony. But see, again, it's like the whole thing is this exercise in just exercising, like just running on a hamster wheel. The Obama files, Spygate, Russian collusion. Okay, yeah, we know. Are you going to arrest somebody? You going to charge somebody? Oh, the auto pen scandal. Oh, Joe Biden, was he fit? Was he not? Well, let's find out. More at midnight. More at noon. More at 7. We don't know. Who ran the Russian hoax? We just have no clue. More at 9. Was Joe Biden fit for office? Was he mentally with it? More at 10. It's like, no, we already know the answer to all this stuff. You're either going to arrest people or you're not. You're either going to run investigations and charge people or you're not. That's what this comes down to. Now, here's one that, I mean, again, now Trump wading into this territory again. A congressional stock trading ban just got closer to becoming law. A bill that bans politicians from trading stocks just passed a key Senate committee. Lawmakers would have to sell off stocks starting next term and the VP and president in 2029, sparking a ferocious debate among Republicans on the panel. Well, I guess we know who in that panel is benefiting in the stock market, huh? Wouldn't you like to know? Like Trump just made a statement on True Social about he's negotiating a deal with Pakistan right now and oil reserves, and maybe Pakistan starting to move oil, export oil. And he says, what oil company is going to get that deal? Boy, wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? I guess you could just put a bet on every single number on the roulette wheel and you're going to win. Oh, who am I going to broker this deal for in the oil industry? So, yes, insider trading in D.C. go hand in hand. And I'm not even an insider in D.C. You can just follow it. You just follow the news and developments. You won't get fully ahead of the curve, but it's like you can get in right when it starts to curve. Just if you're paying attention to the pulse of news and current events, you can get right behind the curve. But, oh, you know, like, oh, yeah, I know who's coming to the White House today. I know what deal Trump's about to sign. I know what oil company's about to get this deal. It's like, oh, yeah. You hear things when you're in Washington, D.C. You hear things when you're in Congress. All Democrats voted for it in the committee, while every Republican voted against it except one, Josh Hawley, who sponsored the bill. So he can't even get Republicans on his own bill. So that tells you something. And so this statement from President Trump just moments ago, why would one Republican Senator Josh Hawley from the great state of Missouri join with all of the Democrats to block a review sponsored by Senator Rick Scott and with the support of almost all of the Republicans of Nancy Pelosi's stock trading over the last 25 years? The information was inappropriately released just minutes before the vote, very much like sabotage. The Democrats, because of their tremendous achievements and success, because of our tremendous achievements and success, have been trying to target me for a long period of time, and they're using Josh Hawley, who I got elected twice, as a pawn to help them. I wonder why Hawley would pass a bill that Nancy Pelosi is in absolute love with. He is playing right into the dirty hands of the Democrats. It's a great bill for her and her husband, in quotes. What does that mean? Interesting. Her husband. Remember Hammergate? I digress. But so bad for our country. I don't think real Republicans want to see their president, who has had unprecedented success, targeted because of the whims of a second-tier senator named Josh Hawley. This is just strange. This is just really strange. Well, Trump said this about Pelosi's stock trading earlier today in clip 4.
Things very carefully, and this just happened, so I'll take a look at it. But conceptually, I like it. And what I do think is Nancy Pelosi should be investigated, because what she has the highest return of anybody practically in the history of Wall Street, save a few. How did that happen? It happened by she knows exactly what's going to happen, what's going to be announced. She buys stock, and then the stock goes up after the announcement's made. And she ought to be investigated.
She ought to be investigated. Yeah, I think we agree. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters? Pam Bondi? Same difference. You're going to get the same result. Pelosi isn't the only one. Pelosi is not the only one. Lots of Republicans do very well in the stock market. I think Dan Crenshaw was the leader in the clubhouse last fiscal year on the Republican side. I think they all still trail Nancy Pelosi. I can't remember exactly, but she and her quote-unquote husband over the years have done quite well. They have done quite well. You know what? I skipped over this, and I'm sorry to have to go back, but I forgot to play this clip dealing with the Biden auto pen interviews, the Biden mental acuity interviews. Eric Burleson, who's a part of this investigation, he had this to say about some of the most recent testimony that he's hearing in clip 6.
Give us the latest with the auto pen hearings, investigations, whatever we want to call them.
Yeah, so far, almost everybody has that has been subpoenaed has pled the Fifth. The only person that did not invoke the Fifth Amendment was Ron Klain, who is the former White House Chief of Staff, and he testified that that there was a deterioration in Biden's mental acuity. He said that his memory had deteriorated just a little bit, but that he wasn't as sharp compared to his earlier term, but he didn't indicate that it was dramatic enough to be noticed.
So where does that
leave
you guys in your investigation? If nobody's talking to you, you kind of had to expect that some of this would happen, but then what happens now?
Yeah, there's more people that that we're subpoenaing. We have Mike Donilon, Anita Dunn, Steve Ricchetti.
So they just talked to Ricchetti
Bruce Reed
today.
Chairman Comer has even suggested that he's going to bring in Joe Biden and possibly even Kamala Harris. Look, this is about investigating whether or not the people that are responsible for invoking the 25th Amendment failed in their duties. And then furthermore, that they took advantage of this.
Yeah, that's a good angle. Even if all else fails on the auto pen scandal, at least you have the angle of, no, you knew he wasn't mentally fit. You knew he was mentally incapacitated, and you took advantage of that. You consciously took advantage of that. You know, that'll at least show you the true nature of the Biden administration and the Democrat Party at large. All right, President Trump is live right now with RFK Jr. I think they have some announcements dealing with the medical industries here. Let's go live.
He is regarded as the highest flourishing nation on Earth. Since 1990, it has increased the lifespan of its women by 8 years, of its men by 9 years. There's no country that has a record like that. And there are two major innovations that allowed them to achieve that extraordinary outcome. And one of those was to disincentivize people from eating processed foods. Oh, you are paid not to eat processed foods, and you are penalized for eating processed foods. The other innovation that really transformed Indonesia was allowing people control of their individual health records. And he showed me the app that they use that everybody in Indonesia has. And it shows your height, your weight, your blood type, your BMI, your cardiac markers, your diabetes markers, your cholesterol, and any kind of individualized treatments that you had. So if you go to a doctor in another town, he doesn't do what we have to do here, which is to sit there with a clipboard and a fax machine in order to get your health records. It's available, and it allows them to give better treatment, but it also allows you to make better choices over your life. And there's other apps like Yucca in Indonesia that allow you to choose good foods when you go to the grocery store. So you can turn your app on your phone, and you can get full information about those foods. Well, now if you have your medical records, you can get personalized advice. And that app will also give you advice about a better alternative. So we're going to be able to meet. We met, Dr. Oz and I met with the former Prime Minister Rudd of Australia just after the election during the transition phase. And he, after his retirement as Prime Minister, he ran a commission to reorganize the Australian health system, and they revolutionized, and they vastly improved health in Australia. And he said the single thing that he did that was most important to that transformation was the transparency that occurs when people control their own health records, because it gives people the choice over their own health decisions and over their own lives, and it gives them a sense of responsibility and allows them to measure the interventions. If they change their diet, if they change their exercise, it can show you how many steps you took today. It can tell you if your glucose is spiking. And all of that information will now be available to American citizens. 60 years ago today, we passed Medicaid and Medicare in this country. And we have 60 CEOs in this room of these extraordinary companies, some of which the president just mentioned, that have all agreed voluntarily to start sharing information. President Trump, during his first term, passed the interoperability rule. And it was intended to do this. For 20 years, the federal government has been trying to do this. Everybody recognizes it's absolutely critical innovation for us advancing the health of American citizens, to give them responsibility and to give them control over their own healthcare choices. And unfortunately, you ran out of time the last time around. President Trump gave us instructions that he wanted this to happen within 6 months. We barely made it under the wire, thanks to Dr. Oz's leadership. And within 6 months, every American's going to be doing it, thanks to the cooperation of the corporate leaders in this room. You know, about 3 months ago, I met with the food executives, and I asked them to voluntarily come forward and get rid of food dyes, of the 9 synthetic petroleum dyes. And this is something, again, the government, Democrats and Republicans, have been trying to do for 20 years. And the industry came forward, and now 40% of the food industry in this country has taken the pledge to remove food dyes from all of their foods. So That happened because of your leadership, Mr. President. A month ago, we got, after a lot of work by Chris Klump and Dr. Oz and a lot of other people in our agency, we got all the insurance executives to come together in our country and in our offices and agree to get rid of pre-authorization for 80% of the DSM codes. This is a voluntary agreement. 80% of the industry has now agreed to do that. So this is happening because of good leadership. President Trump, you've asked us to think big. You've inspired us to dream big. And you've enabled us to accomplish things that no other president has been able to do. So I want to thank you for your leadership, for allowing this to happen. And with your leadership, we're going to make America healthy again. Now I want to introduce my friend, my colleague, the crypto czar, the acting administrator of Doge, David Sacks.
Doge, that's just bitter.
Thank you, Secretary Kennedy. I recently got a text message from a friend whose wife has been suffering from a chronic illness for something like a decade, and they've been trying to figure out what it is. They've never been able to figure it out. And I just want to read this to you right off my phone. He said, I uploaded my wife's blood work into one of our leading AI engines on Friday. It essentially diagnosed her as having a rare genetic defect that causes bone marrow failure. It's caused every single thing that's happened to her. She has every single symptom. It started at exactly the same age of presentation. It's 10 people out of 1 million. There's absolutely no way this is not it. So, wow, it's really an incredible example of what AI is already able to do just today, and we're just getting started. And this was one person putting his wife's data in, you know, one of our consumer AI apps, and he's already been able to get that diagnosis, and that's going to help them tremendously. The key is here is the unlocking of the data, because the more data that AI has, the better it performs. And so, you know, kudos to Dr. Oz and Secretary Kennedy for this pledge today. They were able to get 60 major companies across different sectors of the economy to agree to unlock their data so that AI could use it to drive better patient outcomes. And this is, you know, all due to your leadership and President Trump's leadership to put the American people's healthcare needs first. And I remember Dr. Oz, he was one of the first people to call me during the transition when the president.
All right, we're up against a break here. So, you know, look, technology can be used for good or for bad, but you hear Kennedy talking about implantable devices in all Americans. You hear them talking about putting everything onto a centralized AI database.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. And that means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. Starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But, yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, that, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's about the wing blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.